This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. This program is normally played on Mondays and is being played today live with Dr. Lou Campominosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign. Good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning, Laurie. Here we are. We missed a bullet here with this hurricane.
Yes, we did. Thank goodness.
Certainly glad to not have to repeat what we went through last September. But as we're getting through this, the reality is that there are other things that are happening that are just absolutely appalling. And I'm glad for you to be able to, you know, reschedule the show this morning, because while these issues are very much with us, I think it's important for us to be able to take a step back and look at what happened with Afghanistan, not the whole picture from 2001. I'm going to take some time on that down the road, okay? But this whole issue of where we've been for the past 10 or 15 days, it seems to me, has to be put into some sort of perspective, because the implications are quite real in terms of the loss of American credibility, its impact on deterrence theory, and the degree to which, you know, we have left Americans in the lurch in Afghanistan. So, you know, I'm hoping that we'll have enough time to get through all that, and I'll make sure I can do. I certainly wanted to be able to talk a little bit about some of the state issues. The Alabama Conservative Coalition had a really good meeting in Birmingham on Saturday. We had Mo Brooks speaking, as well as Jim Ziegler. So I'd like to be able to share some of that. If I can't do it this week because of our time factors, then I'll get to it next show. So at any rate, here we are watching all of this unfold, and you have the pundits talking about, well, is this our Dunkirk? Is it our Bay of Pigs? Is it Saigon redo? Or is it Benghazi? You want my opinion? It's more of a Benghazi than anything else, and I'll try to develop that. But the fact of the matter is, we left Americans in Benghazi when we could have saved them, and we did the same thing today. Actually, it was yesterday. So my feeling here is that if we are going to get to the bottom of some of this, we need to kind of step back and look at Biden's decision-making process that led to his sticking with August 31st as the deadline. I mean, as you probably saw when you were watching the news and watching, you know, and listening to other people say this, this was an artificial deadline. It was self-imposed. Certainly you saw former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo talking about not going along with an artificial deadline because everyone knew we were not going to be able to get all of our Americans out, and you weren't going to be able to get all of the Afghanis out who had the special immigration visas, okay?
Not to mention $83 billion worth of military assets, ammunition, vehicles,
right,
supplies.
But you see, I'm liberal on this, okay? I'm more impressed with trying to get Americans out, saving lives.
Of course.
But you know, but you're absolutely right. I'm not downplaying that. I'm being facetious when I say that about being liberal on this. But my point is that Biden has a history of doing things like he just did. So Pompeo goes on TV and makes a perfectly valid case that the Trump deal was predicated on what? Conditions. Okay? And those conditions, if not met, meant that the deal wasn't going to go through. And there were times during, from February of 2020 until Trump left, that there were times when they did go after the Taliban. They did do some things, okay? But the interesting thing is that once Biden took over, and again, Biden's defense of all this is that, well, all of my generals and all of my CIA people, the intelligence, all said the Afghan government would last at least until December. Gee, Was that acceptable? You know what that sounds like? It sounds like the same things that were happening during the fall of Saigon. They were looking for what was called a decent interval between the time when the U.S. left and when Saigon was going to fall. The suggestion was from the left always that Saigon was going to fall no matter what. That's absolutely false. Okay? How can you say that, Dr. Liu? It fell so quickly. Well, it didn't fall so quickly. Okay? Nixon had withdrawn all U.S. combat troops by 1972. Think about it. He also had made sure that when the Easter Offensive took place in March of 72, that he stayed with the South Vietnamese. He didn't abandon them. In fact, his advisor said, well, you know, this is it. We've done everything we can. He said, no, I'm not going to let these bastards win. And he went back, used the B-52s, sent advisors, and did everything he could to help the South Vietnamese against the Hanoi onslaught. And guess what? The South Vietnamese army stood and fought at An Lac, retook Quang Tri province. They did everything that they couldn't do in 1965. And this is the heart of the damn issue. And this is what I'm so sick of, tired of listening to these liberals who don't know the first damn thing about anything, but oh no, they can pontificate quite well. In 1965, the South Vietnamese were going to be taken over by the Viet Cong and their North Vietnamese allies who had infiltrated to the South. They could not fight for a whole lot of reasons. Political problem, most likely. But the bottom line is, it took us 7 years, 1972, to before that South Vietnamese army was capable of doing what they showed they could do in the Easter Offensive. That means a whole lot. It means that everything that we had tried to do was worth doing, and the people who died doing it were validated in their deaths. Until Watergate. And this is what I've said in my classes on Vietnam forever. Watergate was not only the end of Nixon's political career, it also was the death knell for Saigon. Because the liberal Democrats, in all of their fury about the war, which they, Kennedy and Johnson, did, okay, but boy, they sure as hell walked out on it fast as soon as Nixon came to power. Then we got to get out. We got a bug. Peace now, okay? All of that crap. All right, so here we are. I'm getting a little bit excited here, Laurie. I'll be careful not to say a bad word.
I've got my finger on the button.
She's got her finger on the button. Okay. All right, so we get this situation where we have actually validated the whole Vietnam episode because we did what we had to do. And then the Liberal Democrats took over in 1974, took over Congress, and, well, the Democrats have been in charge of Congress anyway. But the liberal wing that was anti-war came to power. And once they did, they cut all sorts of, I'd say at least 50% of the funding that was supposed to go to South Vietnam in the spring of 75. Once that happened, here again, the United States creates a military in its own image. Air power, artillery, you know, all those kinds of things that make America's military extremely lethal, okay? But if you're going to cut off 50% of the funding, don't expect that the South Vietnamese were going to be able to withstand a major attack again as they had seen in 72. So here's what ended up happening. Now, you know, you say, well, Dr. Liu, this is Vietnam. This is Afghanistan. It all fits a pattern, people. You need to think about it, okay? December of 74, Nixon's gone. Nixon had promised the South Vietnamese government if the North came back again, the bombers, the B-52s, would be unleashed. Nixon's gone. December of 74, Hanoi attacks and goes after and seizes a provincial capital in the North. They take it. What was the U.S. response? Nothing. A major signal to Hanoi, the U.S. was done. Okay? Now, run the reel up to the present time here. What is the signal that's given when again, Biden looks the other way when Bagram Air Force Base is given up? When 5,000 terrorists are let loose? when he sees that the Taliban are in offensive mode. You all remember this. Just a month ago, they showed these maps on TV where the dark areas was with where the Afghan government controlled. The red air areas are starting to circle around Kabul. Why in the world did we just watch that happen? I mean, after 2,500 Americans lose their lives, at least close to 20,000 have lost their limbs. And I mean, and here's another part of the story. Biden had the audacity to say the Afghanis didn't fight at all. 60,000 of them had died in fighting the last 5 years. And so he slurs them, smears them. I mean, it's unbelievable. Instead of doing what Trump would have done and had done, was to bomb the SI, you know what. Okay, I'm being good here. But it's true. I mean, so at any rate, here we are. There's the Biden approach to this. And so as you're thinking, okay, well, he was confronted with something, and so he chose to do that. Okay, well, let's look a little bit deeper into this, his choice of not using force, okay? Now, let me take you on a little journey here. Right after Vietnam, liberal foreign policy experts, the intellectuals, okay, they all started writing, particularly in a new magazine at the time, Foreign Policy. Now it's an old hand. Foreign Policy magazine, decrying the use of force in international relations because the lesson of Vietnam was force doesn't work. Well, that's only good if you accept the premise that Saigon was determined to fall no matter what we did. And like I just explained to you, Saigon was already ready to stand on its own. We could have had a Saigon just like we've had, you know, North and South Korea. There was no reason it couldn't have been that way except for politics. And there is the key to all of this. So here's the political judgment that the left-wing intellectuals have all put out there. And you say, well, nobody listens to the left-wing intellectuals. Really? Well, how about Obama? Okay? Because if you look carefully at Obama's foreign policy, and of course Joe Biden is at the foot of the throne, okay, taking it all in, pushing his own version of things, and I'll get to that in a minute. But what do they do? What's the first thing Obama does? He goes to Egypt and gives the apology tour. Oh, yes. Okay. What's the major problem in the world? U.S. foreign policy. Now, here's the subtext of this that didn't come out until just now. And it's the domestic portion of this woke crap. It's America that's bad. We're racist, misogynist, homophobic, you know, all of it. Those things have been in the history books for a long time from the left. But it's all out now. This is what critical race theory is all about. You say, oh my God, Dr. Liu, you're really going crazy today. You're right. Because it all fits a pattern now, folks. It fits a pattern. And so if U.S. foreign policy is the cause of all the world's problems, well, I guess the only thing we can do is get rid of the good old USA. And so you say, okay, well, he didn't mean it that way. Well, let me tell you what. There is this argument that these Democrats and these left-wing intellectuals, now I would say socialist people from BLM, Antifa, these people are anti-American. They hate this country. They see us as the problem. They want to socialize it, make us a little socialist utopia, which you and I know will never happen because there is no such thing. It never has worked. It never can work for a whole lot of reasons that we can discuss in a further class here. Oh, not a class. Sorry.
By the way, if you don't know, Dr. Liu is an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. How long have you been a professor?
Oh, since 1992.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at any rate, okay.
And what is the doctor for?
It's in political science.
I presume, okay.
With a international relations major.
So we have some validity here, ladies and
gentlemen. Yeah, I mean, look, but you know what? It does come down to a degree of opinion here. I just happen to think my opinion's right. okay?
It's based on historical facts, at
least. Right. It is based on some facts. And the facts of the matter are, as I just tried to point out to you, how do we explain Biden's determination to stick with the August 31st deadline when everyone was saying there's no way it's going to work? You have to have more, aside from the fact that everyone said, don't do this in the summer because the summertime is the fighting season. Wait until the winter when the Taliban go back home and blah, blah, blah. Keep things going with the Afghani government. Don't let them fall. Well, I mean, okay, so we can, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda that. But the fact of the matter is, because he didn't do wait until the winter season to start a phased withdrawal that would have made sense instead of the ass backwards way they did it, who the hell takes out all the troops first, leaves the equipment, as you just pointed out, and lets 5,000, you know, terrorists just go roam free? Now, here's the interesting thing. Biden says, my generals gave me the advice to do this. Well, let's put it this way. If Austin, the Secretary of Defense, and Milley actually told him to do it this way, they should be fired, they should resign, okay? But if they didn't, then they should resign on principle simply because he's lying about this. They couldn't have been so stupid as to do this and say, yeah, it's okay, pull all the troops out, let all the equipment go, give them all the weapons, you know, thousands of vehicles, you know, more helicopters, they say, than what Australia has. My point is, this just doesn't make sense. And if these generals are going to allow Biden to hang it on them, then shame on them. You had this one Marine Lieutenant Colonel who on Facebook and said, I want accountability from these senior officers. Well, of course, they fired him. He said, I'm out of here. He resigned 17 years. You're looking at a retirement of probably about $45,000 a year. He walked away from it. I hope Trump or somebody fills that. Put a damn bank account and give it to him. He had the courage of his convictions to say, screw this, people. You can't let this happen like this. Well, all right, so here we are. I've just given you an example of Obama and his incredible apology tour, which lays the predicate for this whole idea that it's American foreign policy that's what's the problem in world politics. And you say, okay, so he gave a one-off apology tour. What about Biden? Well, here's what Biden did. If you remember, good old, you know, Manchurian candidate Obama puts Biden in charge of two places, Ukraine and where else? Iraq. Okay, so let's take a look at his tenure as the head of the Ukraine project for good old USA. What's the first thing he does? He forces the Ukrainians to stop an investigation into the Burisma, which is a company that his son Hunter had been hired for, not because he was an expert in oil and gas, not because he was an expert engineer, no, because he had access to his daddy who was running the Ukrainian project. Okay. I mean, let's be clear. If you don't think that Biden has a corruption problem with China and with Ukraine, you're kidding yourself. But I'll leave that alone for a later time. So here you have it. What does he do when the Russians go into the eastern Ukraine under the guise of, you know, helping fellow Russians who live in the eastern Ukraine and who want to be part of Mother Russia? Well, he sends them MREs and cigarettes and crap like that. He doesn't send them anti-tank weapons. He doesn't send them the kinds of weapons that were necessary for the Ukraine to defend itself. Okay? It took Trump to do that. Oh, but wait, Trump was in collusion with Putin. Right. Trump sent everything that the Ukrainians needed to defend themselves. Not old Uncle Joe. Now, what about Iraq? If he was a failure in Ukraine, how about Iraq? Well, first thing they did in 2011, because again, remember, 2008 election, Iraq's the bad war. That's Bush's war. But Afghanistan was a good war. Okay, so they were going to hold on in Afghanistan in theory. So here you have Biden pulls, and again with Obama's support, they pull all the troops out of the bad war. What ends up happening, folks? ISIS grows. ISIS grows so strong, it threatens all of Iraq. It takes the western part, Anbar province, where all the Sunnis are. It takes a portion of Syria. It grows to the point it had as much territory as Great Britain. And you say, well, Dr. Liu, that doesn't mean anything. What happens if it's territory? Does it make any difference? Oh, it does make a difference, friends and neighbors, because guess what? They were able to consolidate power, got all sorts of money, resources, and what did they do with it? They sent terrorists into Europe. They sent terrorists to the United States. You have a short memory if you don't remember some of these places. I'm not going to go through them again, but the fact of the matter is, that is exactly what the ISIS caliphate was able to do, bring terror to Western Europe and to the United States. And guess what, guys and gals? It's coming again, because if Afghanistan becomes a terror state, they're going to be able to do all sorts of things. And guess what? Where do you think they're going to go? Do you think they're going to go into Europe? Maybe. But why not just go to the Mexican border? Biden's opened the damn border up to anybody who wants to come in. They've already caught people who were on terrorist watch lists there. But oh no, okay? I'm the right-wing lunatic here. Oh yes, okay? I'm sorry, okay? So here's two examples of Biden and his lack of use of force. How about this one for you, folks? He was opposed to going after bin Laden. Oops.
Biden?
Yes. Okay? Now, Obama wanted to do it, but it's all out there, black and white. You can find it for yourself. Even the Secretary of Defense at the time, Bill Gates, or Robert Gates, I can't remember his name. Who cares? His name is Gates. The fact of the matter is, Gates wrote in his book that Biden has been wrong on every major foreign policy issue forever.
Okay? Wow.
I rest my case. But you know what? I'm not going to rest my case, because there's something even worse that's coming up. And it's this whole daggum business of Benghazi. All right? I would suggest to you that if anything exemplifies the complete disdain for our traditions, the lack of concern for American citizens, it's Benghazi. Okay? We put those people in Benghazi. We left them out to hang to dry. We did nothing to support them when they were under attack. And the evidence is so conclusively there that we could have done exactly whatever was necessary with either drone support or aircraft coming from Europe to do something. There you go. I mean, Clinton, Obama, Susan Rice goes on TV and lies about the cause of all this being some, you know, ridiculous movie that somebody put in that was anti, you know, Muslim. Wrong, wrong, wrong. So here again, the history of Biden and his willingness to defend this country and do what was necessary to protect our interests and our people, it's clearly there. All you have to do is look at it. So if all of those kinds of things are part of all this, okay, which I think it is, okay, what you end up getting here is some serious questions about the future. And you say, oh, come on, what do you mean? That's just Afghanistan's Afghanistan and blah, blah, blah. Well, Afghanistan is not just Afghanistan. I just suggested a minute ago that what is going to happen with Afghanistan is just what you saw in 2001, in that it's going to become a terror state. Now, you've got Blinken and all of the the pointy-headed intellectuals, as George Wallace used to say, who couldn't park their bicycles, okay? But nevertheless, these guys are running the damn country now. And they're all saying, well, you know, the Taliban, now that they're going to be governing, they're going to need international support. They want markets. They want money to do this. Yes, Laurie's looking aghast at that.
Well, but folks, this is exactly, and I've said this to you all before, this is exactly what they said about when Hamas took power in 2007 in Gaza. All the liberals are saying, oh, this is the best thing since sliced bread, because now that they're in power, then they're going to be forced to have to take care of their people. BS of the first order, of the highest degree. I can't say it bad enough. Oh, gosh. I can't even find words for it. Okay? No. The Taliban don't give two-you-know-whats about anything other than the power and the fact that they will go and kill anyone that they want. And are you going to tell me that, excuse me, the European, you know, Union is going to say, oh, tut, tut, you know, we can't have this. We don't want anything to do with that. We're not going to trade with you. Really? When they've got all of these, you know, resources that are very scarce, lithium, among others? Do you think for a second the feckless Europeans won't kowtow to whatever the Afghanis want, with all the Taliban want? I'm sorry, that just doesn't wash, okay? Here's another thing that doesn't wash, is the idea that the Taliban are interested in anything other than revenge for all of those of their fellow countrymen who fought against them and fought with the United States. That's what they want. I mean, this is going to be a replay of what you saw the last time they were in power. Destroying, you know, those Buddhist wonderful pieces of history just because they could do it. Killing people, torturing women, doing all the kinds of things to women that, you know, the women's movement should be screaming about. Where are the screams from our women's movements? Don't hear a thing about what's coming. But be that as it may, here you have an issue which is going to end up being a problem for not only the United States, but for the world. And again, I've suggested to you all before, in 1996 when Obama went to Afghanistan, yeah. Okay, Osama bin Laden goes to Afghanistan. What do? The first thing they do is start supplying men, materiel, money, equipment, all of it, where? Into the Caucasian areas, to do what? To fuel the Chechens against Russia, which is all fine and dandy with me. I mean, the Chechens probably deserve to be free and independent, be that as it may. We don't have to get into that. But the fact of the matter is, that's the first thing they did. They started to support terrorism, and then they started to move in the direction of the United States, the great Satan, okay? So here we are. I mean, that's what's coming with this. So let's not just blow this off as, well, Biden made a bad mistake, but there's no cost to it. Oh, yeah, there's a cost. There's a cost, just as I just described, but there's a bigger picture cost, okay? And that's the question of American credibility and the degree to which credibility really is the coin of the realm when it comes to deterrence. Okay, so, okay, well, what do you really mean by that? Okay, well, it's very simple. China has to believe that if they cross a red line, then there's going to be retribution. I mean, that was the whole point of deterrence during the Cold War. Russia had to know that we would use nuclear weapons if necessary. It's really interesting. Charles de Gaulle pulled out of NATO because he did not believe that the United States would be willing to trade New York for Paris if something happened. Okay? We would not live up to the commitment. If something happened to Paris, we would not trade New York. Well, I mean, here again, the Cold War ended the way it did in part because the United States demonstrated it had the willingness and the will to use force when necessary. There was no doubt about it. Okay? whether it was the Cuban Missile Crisis or other places, other times. So you have the situation now where, what are the Chinese thinking? Do you think for a second that the American debacle in Afghanistan doesn't have an impact on Chinese thinking here? I mean, it's clear that they really want to dominate the world, okay? They don't necessarily want to have a war to get it. And so they have been able to successfully use asymmetric means, and this is interesting, I mentioned this to you all last year, that there were two Chinese military analysts, scholars, who wrote about the use of biological warfare in an asymmetric warfare scenario. And here you have the pandemic. Now, you can put two and two together and maybe come to the conclusion that Wuhan really wasn't an innocent place that Fauci, you know, spent money on to get go through this gain of, what is it, gain of function for these various viruses. So you have this very real possibility that that's exactly what they were doing in Wuhan. And now here's the trick. Did the Wuhan virus come out of there as an accident, on an accident, or was it deliberate? Okay, we're not going to be able to answer that, but I think it's one or the other, and neither one of those are good answers, because the accidental answer leaves you with trying to figure out, well, are we going to press the Chinese for payment in accidents? I mean, if you get into a car wreck and you're at fault, don't you have to pay something? So here you have a situation that basically is begging for some sort of credible response, not only on the pandemic, but now how do we regain our credibility in terms of our willingness to use force when we have just walked away from it in a big way that not only abjured the use of force, but left American citizens hostage behind enemy lines, essentially? What are the Chinese thinking? It just might be time for us to test old Uncle Joe on Taiwan. Now, I've mentioned to you before, the Chinese have been doing overflights into Taiwan airspaces for the last year and a half. They are probing. They want Taiwan for a lot of reasons we don't need to go into here. But what happens if they sink a Taiwan ship? What about two? What if they do something outrageous, like drop some paratroopers into an area just to see if they could seize a portion of Taiwan? I don't know, folks. All I can tell you is, without credibility, we've opened up a crank can of worms. Peace depends upon the willingness to use force. And if you don't use it, it goes right back to Munich, the lesson of World War II. Weakness begets aggression, and there you have it. So whether it's China, whether it's the question of Israel and our relationships with the Israelis, which are very much dependent upon, yes, they have self-defense, but they also need the United States. We don't seem to be willing to move away from supporting the Palestinians. Things like this are going on. I'll take this up next time. But the fact of the matter is, you know, this debacle, call it what you want, Saigon 2, whatever, it has serious ramifications. And those ramifications are going to come home to roost. And when they do, it's not going to be nice. So I hate to end on a note like that. But you know what? Sometimes you got to drink what's out there, and so we'll look at it and say what we have to say.
Sometimes you can't paint a rosy picture.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right, so today's what, the 31st of August? We're back on the 6th of September. That's Labor Day. Oh, my gosh, Lori's looking. We're going to work on Labor Day. Well, we'll see. We may have to figure that one out. At any rate, y'all take care. Hope everyone had limited damage with the wind and rain that we had, and so far it looks like that's probably the case. So if that is the case, take care, God bless, and God bless the United States of America, and let's hope that our people can get out of Afghanistan.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. This program is normally Mondays from 10:05 until 10:35 a.m.